Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
It's Wendy Snyder sitting in for Bob Surratt once again, and I cannot wait to talk to this guy because everybody loves him. Joseph Lindsley on the line with us. How are you today, Joseph?
Hey, Wendy, good afternoon from the Carpathian Mountains of Ukraine. Good morning to you all in Chicago. Good to speak with you again.
Yes,
Today,
go ahead. It's just an honor to speak to you, and everybody loves listening to you, and you're keeping us up to date of what's going on in Ukraine. And today is a special day in Ukraine. Tell us about that.
It is. For many centuries, it's been the Feast of St. Volodymyr, who's a Ukrainian hero. But today, for the first time, it's Ukrainian Statehood Day. And I went to a ceremony sort of in a secret glen in the mountains this morning that really showed me the meaning of today. Coincidentally, with my friend Vladimir, whose name day is today, we traveled to this little place across the river. We had to cross a swinging bridge to reach the tomb of Prince Sviatoslav. Sviatoslav was the son of Vladimir. Vladimir was the great grand prince of the Kievan Rus people. 1,034 years ago from today, he became Christian and sort of unleashed this new era of that really began Ukrainian nationhood. Today. And so that's why the government of Ukraine made today a statehood day, to say that Ukraine is an old nation. It's not a post-Soviet nation. It existed well before even Moscow. Moscow was founded about 150 years after Vladimir was ruling in Kyiv. And so today we went to this tomb of Prince Sviatoslav. He was killed by one of his brothers who was a tyrant. And 1,007 years ago from the very spot we were at. And so along with this small crowd of people, many of them were wearing the traditional embroidery, the Veshivanka. We entered into this mountain glen, and far ahead of us, there was a burial mound with a monument on top with a cross, and that was the tomb of Sviatoslav. Three women in traditional garb then began to sing with this fierce beauty. It was warlike, but also somehow serene. And I heard in their voices, as they sang in Ukrainian, this wild and deep power, this defiance and resistance and beauty. And I realized these are people who will not be slaves. I mean, they have suffered for, the Ukrainians have suffered for centuries, but they won't be slaves again, especially since the revolution of 2014, when they really recovered their traditions. And I saw all of that on full display today in this pristine mountain glen, sort of far away from civilization. You had behind the women who were singing on the steps leading up to the burial mound, there were teenagers wearing military fatigues, holding the Ukrainian flags. The mayor got up to give a speech, and he said, Slava Iisusu Christu, which means glory to Jesus Christ. The people responded, Slava Navidka, which means glory forever. And then a girl said, Slava Ukraini. The people say, Heroyam Slava. And then they said, with great fierceness, Slava Nazi, glory to our nation. And the people said, Smert Varahom, death to our enemies. And so you had beauty, but you had fierceness combined all in this ceremony that to me so well described the desire of the Ukrainian people to hold on to the freedom that they've suffered for and striven for 1,000 years.
What a momentous occasion for you to experience. That really sounds incredible. These Ukraine people just will not give up.
Yeah, I mean, this has been the story, which I've learned a lot about, especially, since the war started. But, the Kievan Rus was an empire, was the first Ukrainian kingdom, you could say, 1,000 years ago. They're called Rus because they came from it was a tribe that came from Sweden. In fact, to this day, the Finnish people still call Sweden Rusi. And so Russia, when the czars like Peter the Great came to power, they were called Muscovy. They were called Moscow. They tried to take the name and the legacy of the Rus people. But I think the defining legacy of the Rus people was their desire not to be governed, not to be governed by a czar. And so that, like, this Kozak democracy. And that really, Ukrainians, after suffering through especially the Soviet years, in the 20th century, in 2014, they said, Putin's people were governing in Kyiv. And they said, you know what, no more of this. And you had teenagers, you had grandparents together in the streets demanding their freedom. And it's because of that Putin is seeking to destroy them, because Ukrainians are uncontrollable.
This is just amazing. I feel kind of guilty being here in the States. We just celebrated the 4th of July. It's summertime. Lollapalooza is happening here. It's like, how do the Ukraine people celebrate? Did they have to hide in the backwoods to have this celebration today?
You know, and this is a thing I've learned here in wartime, too, that, you have to keep living. And even when I was at a camp of soldiers, very close to the front, we could still have a nice meal together and tell stories and laugh. Today, with friends, we had some pizza and beer on a beautiful summer day. You have to remember the reason why you're fighting is for the life that you want to live. And you have to keep living that. And so I don't think there should be guilt. I think, and as my friend that I went to this this ceremony with, he said there has to be a paradigm shift from slavery to freedom. And so even in the time of war, you have to find ways, yes, to celebrate and to be happy. That's the best way to live freedom. And that's what you do in America.
Well, God bless them. God bless you. Joseph Lindsley, editor of Ukrainian Freedom News and founder of the Lviv Lab for the Activation of Democracy. It is just a treasure to have you there and to talk to you every day. Can't wait to speak to you again.
Thank you, Wendy.
Joseph Lindsley, pretty incredible.